you're living in a resort every day and head to mandalayliving.com.au. Just 40 minutes from Melbourne.
Big day today for climate change because hundreds of thousands of people are going to be striking around the globe. Hundreds of thousands of school students are included in this time. So we've got 100 Australian cities have joined in and towns. There'll be workers from industries, all industries, and a lot of the bosses, I guess the employers, have said, yep, take the day off and feel free to take part in the strike. But what I think is interesting about this one, Fev, is that there will be a lot of students and a lot of kids because schools are even endorsing this and there are certain schools that are saying, yep, let's get the kids out there protesting, which is an interesting one because, I mean, I think, we've often said this, that climate change will affect the next generation, the generations coming through. So it's an issue that absolutely is relevant to children.
Yes.
But I guess the question is, is a strike, is a protest, attending a protest, is that a safe place for children?
Yeah, I'd say no.
See, I tend to agree. So I think children have got the right to say, we protest. We're not oh, hello. Trixie's just joined me. That's interesting timing.
Quite appropriate. Yeah.
Would you like to join the protest today, Trix? She said no.
Well, there we go. Straight from the horse's mouth. It's 7:10. We're done.
We're going to Werribee Zoo. Of course she doesn't want to go to a protest. but it's important for them to have a voice, and I support that. I just wonder if you think about protests, you've got, strong extremist groups involved. You've got vigilantes. You've got people who are there to make noise. And often that can end up in violence and there can be, and the police presence. And if anything did go pear-shaped, I don't think it's the right place to have a kids around.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that, Boxy. And you did say that the kids need to have a voice, I suppose, because, you know, in a 20, 30 years' time, they're going to be living in what we create.
Absolutely.
And my kids have been all over this. Lenny's always trying to look at things, how to save the planet. And
good on her.
With all the fires that were going on over in the Amazon, they were all over it, posting it on their Instagram and saying, what's happening to the world and the earth? And I'm like, wrong person to ask. Ask Mum. But they're having a day off today. They're not protesting.
Are they going to the protest?
No.
They're just hanging out with me.
Just having a day.
Well, hang on. That's just truancy.
I won't lie. If I was at school at the moment, I'd be taking advantage of this strike to have a day off.
Yeah, I think that's what they've done.
But 13:10:60, do you think, Melbourne, do you think it's right that kids are at a protest? I mean, there might be people who say absolutely. So 13:10:60, are your kids going to the protest?
All right, let's see how we go.
Have you been at a protest with kids? What have you seen?
Yes or no? Should kids be going at all? We'll take your calls after this, R&B Fridays.
101.9 The Fox. The Fox.
Hundreds of thousands of workers are going to be striking today, leaving work and with the support of many employers to protest against climate change and the global climate deterioration of our planet, and I guess lots of causes and lots of children are going to be affected by this in the future. So schools have encouraged children to strike, and there is a Melbourne protest at 2 p.m. at the Treasury Gardens. And we were just having a chat as parents how we feel, because ever you said, Fev, your kids and my daughter, I told you about when we were on holiday and Trixie saw a plastic bag in the ocean and she started crying. I mean, our kids are absolutely affected by these issues. But should they attend a strike, a protest? Is that a safe place for kids?
It is very dangerous, Boxy, but it is amazing that the kids of this generation are educated enough to understand what's going on in the world. Because I know when I was a kid, I wasn't worried about what was going on with the climate. And
don't you reckon, weren't we the ozone layer? I remember
I was playing footy in the backyard and I was playing cricket in the court. I literally did not, because I didn't think about it.
It could have been a giant hole above Nazawaza
and you wouldn't have known.
No. But it's great that these kids are educated enough, I suppose, but it is a dangerous place for them to be at. But they do need a voice, I suppose, do they, Boxy?
Well, it's impactful. I agree. Having children protest and say, this is our world, our planet, and it's our future, and, you know, we want to be taken seriously. You want them there. But as a parent, I also know there are some very, I'm trying to use a polite term, whack job protesters.
Not quite as polite as you'd hoped.
That almost want to create.
What would you have said if you didn't go safe there?
I don't know. But sometimes protests can turn out to be quite violent, and you've got a police presence, and do you want children around? Now, we do have, it's Matthew from Blackburn. Hi, Matthew.
How are you going?
Good, Matthew. How do you feel about kids being involved in protests?
Oh, look, I think it's great. I think it's a bit of an educational opportunity for them, really. And like, I think for me, it's important that they're not going because I believe in it, but, you know, it's their voice and that they have to understand what's going on.
I mean, you're right, Matt. We tend to agree with that. I mean, with a police presence, and if there was, it's not unusual for at a protest for there to be violent altercations because you never know. The opposition can turn up with their placards and suddenly there's fighting. Do you want your kids exposed to that, though?
Sure. No, yeah, you're right. But, I went to the last one to sort of support the students at that strike, and there was none of that. So I didn't see any of the sort of, you know, riff-raff, rent-a-crowd type of stuff that you see at other protests. So, because I think it is, you know, people know it's the students' strike. I think maybe it's a bit more, you know, friendly.
So the bad elements stay away.
You want to see riff-raff boxing? Head to the MCG tomorrow. Yeah.
that's for one for the Pies
fans. Actually, you raise an interesting point, though, Feb. We're talking about, is it safe for kids at a protest? Sometimes, is it safe for kids at a football game?
Yes, very true.
And we've now got, Gabby from Ringwood. Hey, Gabby.
Gabs.
Hi.
Hey, Gabby, how old are you?
I'm 12.
Oh, Gabby, are you striking today? You're not going to school?
No. My mum's picking me up early and I'm going, yeah.
Oh, you're off to the protest at Treasury Gardens.
Yes, I am.
Great. Well, Gabby, tell us, you're a kid. How do you feel about going to a protest?
I think it's a good idea because it is peaceful and it is for a really important cause. And I think that the more people involved, the more some of our leaders might begin to listen. So I think it's a good idea.
So, Gabs, what for all the kids listening in the car, what are you going there to protest about?
Climate action.
Wow. What do you want done?
We want our leaders to stop burning coal and fossil fuels and start to make more sustainable and renewable choices.
She's well said. Very well done.
Let's just be mindful if you are going to cause trouble. Be mindful there are kids there today at Treasury Gardens. And let's hope that the riffraff stay away.
Well said, Fief. 20 past 7 here at
101.9 The Fox.
The Bachelor. Oh, we followed this right through. Abby, oh, no one liked Abby except for the actual Bachelor.
That was the best episode.
Jeez. Anyway, he hasn't chosen Abby. He has gone with Chelsea, and the two of them will be here before 8 o'clock this morning on The Fox with Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Yeah, let's just speak about Abby for a second because the Bachelor, the editor, the producers did a great job last night making us think, oh, hang on, Abby was first out of the car.
How did they play it, Boxy?
Well, that's what they did. Oh, you didn't see it. Okay, so usually you know the first girl that goes up to Matt is the one he's rejecting.
Yes.
So they got Chelsea out of the car and it looked like it was going to be her, but they just sort of had a chat with her.
Well played.
And then the next, after the ad break, they came back and it was Abby going up to him. So we all knew he's about to dump her. And
why do you sound so excited?
Don't sound too happy about
it. Do you know why I do? And I'll say this to Matt. See, for me, having watched the series, and I liked Abby at first. She was one of my favourites in the beginning. But for me, Abby was playing a game the way she'd play Survivor or The Amazing Race. Yeah. It was a competition to her. She wanted to win the comp. I don't necessarily believe she wanted to win Matt, whereas Chelsea for me was always very transparent, that she was just a nice girl who's just into this guy, but I just thought Abby was playing a game. Okay. So when she went up and she was so confident, she thought she had it. The look on her face and the way she snatched her hands away from him when he was letting her down. Can we just hear the audio of what she said to him?
Here we go.
My heart belongs with someone else. It devastates me to lose someone so incredible, and I've treasured every moment we've had, and you deserve everything. And
okay, that's fine. Can you explain further why?
Ouch.
Oh, and you know what, Fev, it was funny because she is very, like, Abby would be, she's a powerhouse, and whatever she does with her life, she will get what she wants. And in that moment, I actually thought for a second, she's going to talk him back into this. Like, because he was like, oh. She was like, it was like she was going to manipulate it and go, no, you know, think about the chemistry we have. Think about what we, no, I'm not accepting
think
it.
Think about the beach romp.
Yes. Well, yeah. Well, I would certainly like to ask him about that.
That's my
now,
only question.
I love the idea of people who don't accept a breakup. It's when someone's breaking up with you and you talk them back into staying together, or you just go, no, we're staying together. I mean, Seinfeld, your new favourite show, Fev, that I feel like referencing all the time. I don't know whether you've seen this episode where George was dating a lady called Moira and she just refused to accept it.
No, I've given this a lot of thought. I'm sorry, but we have to break up.
No.
What's that?
We're not breaking up.
We're not?
No.
All right.
Maybe this works, Fief. Maybe we've got some great relationship success stories where someone tried to dump someone. They went, no, you're not dumping me. And now they're going, great.
I'd love to hear that. 13, 10, 16.
I reckon Alex has done that a few times with me.
If you've refused a breakup or someone's refused your breakup, please tell us.
101.9 The Fox. The Fox.
Oh, yeah. Well, we all love love, don't we? We love love. And last night, The Bachelor, it was true love. Should we revisit the magic moment, guys, from last night?
Please.
Here we go. This is Matt and Chelsea, Fifi, Fev and Byron on The Fox.
My heart is fluttering, and even though it could get broken into a thousand pieces, I feel the time is right to take the plunge, to take that leap and tell you how I feel. Chelsea, I love you.
What? Oh my God.
And they're in the studio, guys.
Oh, good morning.
Love is alive. Matt, you did what we all wanted you to do. You chose Chelsea. And
dumped
what a
Abby.
It was beautiful. And Chelsea, I just thought you handled that. So, I think that's why we all fell in love with you so early, and I imagine why Matt did too. No, you are so genuine and so humble in that you really didn't expect that, did you?
No, not at all. I literally spent the entire morning crying, expecting to be dumped. So, it was a massive shock to me when it was me at the end.
Now, can I ask you, Matt, or just often with, and I remember speaking to Tim Robards, Blake, well, might leave Blake out of it, and Sam Wood, and I remember them saying they really knew, their gut was telling them on the red carpet on the first night when they met all the girls. Did you have that feeling it was Chelsea on the very first night when the 20 girls all came at you?
You definitely have, some real standouts on the red carpet because of, things where there's something there. I mean, we obviously had the moment with the oxytocin and, you know, had an excuse to get my kid off. But, I think there's an obvious, you know, spark and you're like, this seems like it could be something. But for me, I guess it was our first date where, we got to have this really wonderful date that didn't rely on glitz, glamour and extravagance. It was just something quite normal and simple that you do on the outside world. And it was kind of, there's something special here.
Now, I just witnessed you guys off air have a massive pash. I'm not quite sure what was going there, but it looked like a lot of love.
Why was Fev filming it, though?
What was
Fev
happening
was
there?
Which was weird.
Yeah.
That was real love.
Oh, what do you think, Fev? Right?
No, it was really good. I got excited.
Fantastic. Yeah.
I can feel I could see the real connection.
You're the real deal. Look, we're looking at you. You two are the real deal.
The schmitten. But getting to my point, Boxy, is Chelsea.
Yes.
Last night, not last night's episode, the night before when Matt was also doing that with Abby on the beach, I have to ask this question. Knowing that you had already stole his heart, how were you feeling watching that? Because that was hot.
Yes, it was hot. It was also very uncomfortable to watch. But, I mean, you know, it is what it is and it was all part of it and it happened before we were together. So it's all right. We're uncomfortable enough with Matt to, you know.
Matt's smile went from a real smile to a real shut up.
I know.
Matt's like, this is why I don't do Feb show very often.
Yeah. Like, you got to know when to keep your mouth shut, I think.
But the problem is, see, looking at you two, you're such a beautiful, young, happy couple with a great future ahead of you. So it almost feels mean going back and asking questions about the show. But I feel like I have to ask you something, Matt. Firstly, I think your best friend, Kate, and I would be great best friends too, because I was right with her. I love Kate.
Yeah.
And the one thing I've been dying to ask you through the show, because I have been obsessed with it, you were getting a lot of red flags about Abby. The girls were telling you things. Even poor Ellie, who we all thought was really genuine too, just went out there and jeopardised her own chances. And even Kate did. Were you listening to them, or in retrospect, do you look back and go, maybe? Because even when Abby said to you, I'm not into Instagram, I was at home in bed watching. I jumped on. She had 30,000 followers. And I went, I don't think you're being honest with Matt.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's When you do see the show with all the information on the table, it's very easy to figure things out. But when you're in it, people can say anything, and it shouldn't be, the onus of proof shouldn't be on the accused. And it's a slippery slope, and it's a case of, yeah, people shared things with me. But at that point, you still need to let people explain themselves and form your opinions based on them. And yeah, it's really hard, because essentially if someone just says anything, you know, if that completely changes your opinion of them, it's like, I don't know. It's hard. I mean, it's obviously a lot of people said things, but at the end of the day, I'd address them with the person they were being said about. And if I didn't feel any reason to not believe them, then I kind of was like, okay, well.
No, fair enough. Matt, it's actually very rich of me to say that to you, because we've got two friends in the studio who often tell me my boyfriends are rubbish, so I never listen to them.
Now, guys, we're all very happy for you, but what's the future hold? Now you're out, what are you going to go on a holiday? Because you can actually hang out together now.
We get to hang out together, yeah. I mean, a proper holiday soon.
I would love to, but no leave whatsoever.
Well, you can't go to Bali.
Yeah, there's a problem. Unless you're married in Bali, you're going to have a problem. That's now illegal to...
Bonk.
So
no, married.
I didn't know.
Well, okay, yeah. So no Bali. Yeah.
Keep listening. We'll tell you about that after, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So no, I think we've got a couple of small little weekend trips planned. Yeah. I've got a small trip to visit. I still haven't seen my newborn nephew. Unfortunately, Chelsea's very deep in leave debt with works.
Yeah. Do you know what I love about you two? You're my favourite bachelor couple. Just two really lovely people.
Good on you
who
guys.
Who aren't in it for the fame and for the social media profile. I wish you all the best.
And guys, just quickly, you are both locals. Today you're in Sydney because that's where all your promotion has to be, but you're local. So we'll see you back here. Now, there was the segment that we pitched to Matt. We weren't able to get it flying. It was, given that he is an astrophysicist, it was this segment, and we can't wait for you to come back to Melbourne and honour your obligations in what we call...
Talk nerdy to me.
Unicorns were real, but they weren't called unicorns.
Rhinoceros, I believe.
Talk nerdy to me.
We look forward to you joining us for that one.
I signed a verbal contract. I will uphold that contract.
It's R&B Fridays. Congratulations, guys.
101.9 The Fox.
Let's talk about Bali, because we love Bali. We've been to, we've taken this show to Bali for your Bucks party, Fev.
Yeah, we did.
Trixie's favourite place she's ever been has been Bali. Now, there will be implications for people who go to Indonesia who are not married. They will not necessarily be able to share a room or a bed together. I'm trying to be diplomatic with my language here. Because the drafts are in place to institute a bonking ban.
Well, now, if you were trying to be sensitive, you've just said bonking.
I know.
Well, it's amazing.
Well, this is, of course, Indonesia as a whole is one of the most populous Muslim countries, but Bali itself is majority Hindu, I believe. So the majority of Indonesia want this to pass. So you've got it's an Islamic-like Sharia law that Indonesia have drafted, and it looks very set and likely to pass.
Yes.
But of course, it would discriminate heavily against people who are not married and having consensual relations. In fact, they'll be given a 6-month jail term. That means you could be in jail for going to Bali and having relations with someone that you're not married to.
And
that's huge.
That is huge. So therefore, I will not be able to go to Bali because I am not married to my ex-wife, now fiance. So if we went over, probably wouldn't happen anyway. Been together for 17 years.
Come on.
But she's the mother of my children. So we've obviously been married before. But if we wanted to book a room, she'd have to sleep in a different room.
Well, I know.
Because we're not allowed to book. You're not allowed to book with a partner.
Really?
Apparently, they're saying you'll need to show your marriage license.
Yeah, you have to have your marriage license to
so
book.
So have to carry it on you.
Have they thought about tourism, Boxy?
Well, I'd argue they don't care at this point.
Well, I think that's their one wood, isn't it?
Well, Bali, yeah, but don't forget, we're talking about Indonesia. So Bali is part of Indonesia, but Indonesia itself has lots of forms of income to the country that they maybe don't really care. They're showing that they don't care that much about Bali because you're right. Bali itself will suffer, and the Balinese would suffer with tourism. But I think Indonesia themselves have decided, well, the government in question has said, no, we'll go ahead with this.
We can always test the waters.
What do you mean?
I might go to Bali with Schnooksy for a good night.
Well,
see if anyone barges in, and I could end up in Kerobokan.
And we'll broadcast you from Kerobokan every day.
Mate, imagine that.
For 6 months.
I've always wanted to visit a prison.
It is only 6 months.
It's only 6 months. Okay. Get a good tan.
All right. Well, it's interesting, Feb, you see, because we've all thought about this morning and thought this is huge. A bonking ban in Bali would have huge repercussions
to the tourism.
But then I thought to myself, but maybe it doesn't affect a lot of families vacaying.
Right.
Like if you're a family vacaying, I mean, de facto it would affect.
Sure.
But if you were married or like myself, I'm not looking to go to Bali for any action. I'm fine. I'd happily go to Bali and get no action.
13, 10, 60.
That's true. Like, I just want to sit by a pool.
Okay, well,
yeah, but you got to think of all the tourists that go and all the internationals and the backpackers that all get there.
Well, yeah, the young, maybe
backpackers. You get in the clubs and you have a bit of jungle juice and you boo meet someone you like, go home, boom, boom.
Oh, the nightclub scene will fall apart.
Yeah, it's gone.
Okay,
that will be affected.
Or 13, 10, 60. I mean, we could at least open the phones and test the temperature. I mean, there'll be people who are absolutely gutted. I would have thought, Fief.
13, 10, 60. Are you gutted
trips
by
stuff?
This? A bonking ban in Bali. Maybe this is actually, maybe you've got a trip planned and you might need to reconsider really quickly.
You know, half moon parties.
Oh, 13, 10, 60.
101.9 The Fox.
Now we're talking about the Bali bonking ban. Now when I, hi Trix, my daughter's just walked into the room.
Oh, that's good timing.
That's really unfortunate timing. Anyway, Indonesia are set to pass. It's been drafted. It looks like it's going to go through. It's a law that you are not to have relations, intimate relations with somebody unless you are married.
Bonking ban.
Boxy, there's a lot of
if you're booking accommodation, you can't book it unless you're married.
And about the accommodation and the bonking ban, a lot of people go to Bali to get married.
Yes.
So therefore, if they wouldn't be able to do it until they got married, so therefore they'd have to book different rooms, different hotels probably.
Mm.
Oh, geez, it's a vortex.
Well, it is because it's sort of a part, like it's the equivalent of our Ibiza. For Europeans, they've got Ibiza. We've got Bali. It's a party place.
Yeah. 6 months in Kerobokan.
There would be people who would be gutted by this, and we have them on the line. Is that Vanessa in Strathmore?
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Hey, Vanessa. Are you gutted by this ban in Bali?
Yeah, I've actually booked a non-refundable trip 2 days ago with my fiance, and not sure how that's going to go down.
Yeah, unfortunately, guys. Sorry.
You might have to get separate rooms. And
it is still in draft form.
Yeah, we've got the same rooms. So it'll be interesting to see when the law goes through.
Test the waters, Vanessa, when you get there and just see what happens.
Yeah, look, I might be the next one in jail, so who knows?
There we go. I mean, this is a real possibility. We can't rule it out,
Fee. It will be. Yeah. If you think about, like, 10 years ago it was Chappelle, now there'll be hundreds of them. We'll have to be have campaigns to get everybody out of jail. Next call. Sorry, I'm just feeding. I can't see the caller.
Oh, that's okay. No. Gacy's hungry at the moment.
Yep. From Chelsea. Good morning, Christy.
Hi, guys. Welcome back, Fifi. I love you guys.
Oh, thanks, Christy. Christy, are you gutted by the Bali ban?
I'm devastated. This can't happen.
Do you like Bali?
I've been to Bali so many times, probably like 8 times, and let's just say I go there to let loose and have a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I mean, guys, at 2 p.m. in Treasury Gardens, there's a protest for climate change. Should we start our own protest for, let's not let this pass, Indonesia, yeah. Listen to us.
Agreed.
Let's do it.
Christy,
it can't happen.
Christy from Chelsea, for a 32-year-old, what's partying and getting loose
Fev,
like in
okay.
Bali?
Okay, all right, Fev, I think we all were able
I'd just
to
like to know. I'm,
join the dots.
You know, I'm getting old, I'd just like to know.
Look, I think it's time for me to calm down and maybe settle down a bit, but I feel bad for the younger kids going there. Like, they should get to experience what we experienced.
Yeah, what's going to happen to Mississippi?
1019, The Fox. We're up to the Melbourne Show.
It's going
to
be a big broadcast, Fifa, and we've got all of our friends coming along who've won tickets. We are live from the all-new Royal Melbourne Show on Monday. It's the show like you've never seen before. You can pre-purchase your tickets and save at royalshow.com.au.
And we can't wait. I mean, the Royal Melbourne Show is where you have so much fun, and all my childhood memories of the Royal Melbourne Show, and it's fun. It's for the family. And as we're taking our show there, guys, I think it's really important to acknowledge that one of the most important parts of our show is our news.
Yes,
we make sure that Melbourne get the most up-to-date, current and breaking news. Yeah. And we've put the best man in that job, and it is Mr. James Lake. He is exceptional at that. And it's very difficult to have a serious news bulletin when you're at one of the funnest places in the world, and that's the Royal Melbourne Show.
Fair enough.
So, James, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Now, James, so we were just thinking to ourselves, what's James going to do? He's going to be at the show. Now, there's lots of distractions. How will he cope reading a serious news bulletin while he's being distracted by anything can happen at the Royal Melbourne Show? Isn't that right, Fev?
Oh, great segue, Boxy. That's where I come in. His protege, the great Sam Mack, was up for a gold Logie. He does sunrise. So when he's out at an OB, which he often is.
An outside broadcast.
Broadcast, yes. He often has a lot of distractions. So I thought, why not get James Lake in? Because when he's at the show, we might put him on a couple of rides and make him read the news on rides, just to spice it up a little bit.
Sure.
So I thought we'd get him into the studio. I've got a script here from one of your news bulletins, James Lake.
Okay, so he's just getting the news script now.
Here you go. Take a seat, buddy.
Thank you.
Take a seat.
Oh, he's sitting down, James. He's got a remote microphone. He's normally in the news booth, but he's in Studio A.
And I'm going to do some things. I'm going to try put him off. I've got Whiz Fizz. I've got syrup. I've got Coke. I've got popcorn.
He's already spraying him in the face. All right, so
off you go, mate.
We'll give you a little bit of music behind as well.
Don't turn around, bro.
Okay. The bulletin hasn't even started.
Here we go. James Lake, we're live from the Royal Melbourne Show.
Up to 100,000 people are expected to rally in the city this afternoon.
He's just poured maple syrup on his head.
Action against climate change.
Oh, dear.
Oh, wow. Just shake that up.
The student-led
movement has been
backed
by model businesses and unions.
I really just thought we were spinning his chair.
No, he's turned James into a giant hotcake.
What's
happening? There's been another mid-air drama in Melbourne Airport when Vietnam Airlines plane almost hit.
Multicoloured popcorn. Snakes now inside of his glasses, Pete.
I'm distancing myself from this.
There's a lot of damage that's been done.
Keep going.
It's not what I imagined happening.
He's put a snake up his nostril.
Yep. No.
Oh, he's just put Coke Zero all over his forehead.
Oh, poor James.
Oh, and he's popped a cracker. Okay.
Well, that's...
No board shorts.
Just not sure what this is achieving.
I can't see the paper anymore.
Okay. We might have to take a break here. I don't know.
Oh, no.
Do you feel like that helped at all, Fief?
James, my apologies. I thought he was just going to spin your chair.
Well,
I'm really sorry about that.
What's that moose? Is that hair moose?
Oh, no.
Can you stop doing it?
So, what are you doing to him?
Okay, that's
I need a shower, but I'm glad I'm alive. When I saw the tarp on the floor, I thought I was being bludgeoned to death.
Okay, there we go. It is the Fox.
I mean,
yes, Fief.
James, you have a really good case for HR at the moment. That's, you know that, don't
I just
you?
Want to say that was all Leon and Amanda's idea. I did not want to do it, but
look at him.
That's fine. Let's push on. R&B Fridays.
Maple syrup all over his. Oh. All right, we'll take a quick break.
It doesn't mix well with sanitizer.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, James. 1019,
The Fox. Finally, someone in the studio with some music cred.
Thank you.
No, not you. I've been waiting for this, and this is great. Obviously, Fief would love if she was here in person because I know they are very, very good mates. And how good is it to have her back? Obviously, The Masked Singer Australia premieres Monday at 7:30 on 10. This is Fifi, Fev and Byron. Danny Minogue's in the studio, guys.
Oh. I know. Even just seeing you on a screen, Fifi, I'm very happy.
I know. I'm so happy to see you. And this is the
I'm
back
proud
of Daisy's
of you that
head.
You're back at work because I know all you want to do is just be like cuddling and snuggling. So
I know, Dan. It was a bit hard. Like I admit, like I was really anxious last weekend thinking, oh, can I do this? Can I split my focus between mothering and being a broadcaster? And these boys, I've got to say, these boys have made it so easy for me, Dan. I can't thank them enough for their support.
I know. And all the fans are... You know, sending messages
they
to
love
say
that
how
doing
awesome
this.
That is.
Well, you've done this, haven't you, Danny?
I'm saying, yeah, that when you were on X Factor with young Ethan.
Yeah, I went back to X Factor UK and Ethan was really small and I was still feeding him. So it was like there were really short gaps between we'd do the main show and then there was like an extra show that was on the secondary network and I like had to get backstage for feed because my boobs are about to explode. Right. And it's not a nice feeling.
No,
they're painful.
Not.
So it's like I'm in a ball gown, heels, like running down the hallway, microphone cables all over me. And I'm like, how do I even find my boob? Like there's so much going on here.
Well, Fee gets to do it in one of the wings of her house in her cardigan.
I know in my dressing gown, Dan. I mean, it's not the most glamorous look. It's not a ball gown.
But Danny, you've been to Fee's house many times, as we all have. Do you know what? We don't even know where that room is. Which one's that?
You have to get a golf cart out there.
Is that up the stairs to the left? Can you remember
it's
that one?
Just a spare room.
I've been up the stairs, but I don't recognise that room.
No, you haven't been to this part of the house.
There's a whole other house up there. There's other children.
Now, Monday night's going to be huge, Dan. The Masked Singer premieres.
Do you have any guesses of who you think?
Yes. Funny
so
you do say 12, that.
12 contestants. You'll see six on Monday, six on Tuesday.
I think the Hoff is one, obviously. It's obviously the Hoff.
What?
Is it? Yep.
Danny's going to go, yep, it's the Hoff.
I think it's the Hoff.
Anything.
But we obviously were just talking about Fee. She did go missing for a long time, and she's one of the great singers. Listen to this.
Well, this is interesting because we can't.
Your shows, I think.
Just when you were taping, it seemed to be the window where Fee wasn't on our radio show, that they are very giant costumes. You could probably
that big red one. What's that big red one?
What are you trying to say?
No, because you were pregnant at the time and you've got to cover your bump.
Now, the only thing that might bring Fee undone in terms of Fev's theory, and you may agree with this, is that perhaps that the vocal chops aren't there for Fee. Do you remember your fashion show a few years ago?
I remember her on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
See, I can dance. She's up for anything like that.
Okay.
Your fashion show, though, do you remember that?
This
Fee
was unfortunate.
May have wrecked this.
Sitting in the front row of one of your fashion shows with Nat Bass. This will bring back memories. Yeah. Here's Fee singing. I got the eye of the tiger. Oh. Oh, yuck.
I was just so excited about Danny's petites.
Do you remember that?
Let me tell you, everybody is singing live in the show. So if you hear that voice,
then it could
then,
be me.
Then it
okay.
could be.
You I'll never know. Guesses. My lips are sealed.
I'll have two guesses, Boxy. Dan, I reckon the wolf is obviously the Hoff.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with the unicorn. I'm going to say Emrishiano.
You have to make noise. It's radio, Danny.
No, she can't say anything.
She can't say anything.
She can't say anything.
I can't. And it's like I've been doing press and promotion all week, and it's really difficult not to like accidentally blurt something out. So when we're filming, the audience were there right up until the reveal, and we had to remove the audience before that, just so that you know when it does come to air, everyone can play.
Oh.
Are you okay there? Daisy just sneezed.
Fifi has too much milk.
Well, there's 12 to guess. So
Daisy agrees.
Even if Fev blew two of them, which we don't know if he has or not, there's 12 of them. You've got the alien, the dragon, there's an octopus in there. There's a parrot, there's a robot. I mean, it's all happening.
What was it like working with Husey?
Husey, his guesses were interesting. Everyone's like, how would Lindsay Lohan know anyone? And she did her study. She came with names written down. She'd been looking people up. She also knows 4 out of the 12.
Oh,
personally.
Great team.
Wow, good team.
That is good. All right.
But Husey would say a name, and then I'd just be elbowing him going, Dave, not alive.
Remember when Husey guessed dead people were in there? We might bring that up with Husey when he joins us on Tuesday. All right, we'll be watching, Danny. We can't wait. It's the Masked Singer Australia. It premieres Monday at 7:30 on 10. Everyone wants to know. We're also curious.
I know. You're not getting anything out of me. I'm in security.
We got
lockdown.
Two. We got
there
two.
We go. Well, fair. We don't two. Know that. All right, we're out of here. Just a quick thanks to our show sponsors, Mandalay Living. Oh, you missed a great time, Danny, when Fee, Fev and I all lived together at Mandalay. It's just 40 minutes from Melbourne. We all lived together. It was great. Do you wish you were there for that one?
Look, normally boys, I'm like, boys are messy and all of that, but I reckon Fifi would be the one.
Yeah, no, she was. It was quite
we looked after her.
Anyway, I mean, there is a single bed behind me that's not made. That's not, like, helping my cause, is it?
Anyway, make a move to Mandalay right now. We're out of here.
Days from 6.
For resort living every day, head to mandalayliving.com.au. Hurry, selling fast. 101.9